Hello and welcome back to Off the Waivers. I'm your host, Eric Barnes. I'm joined as always with my co-host, James Andrews. Today we got something a little different. It's kind of not been the usual the past couple weeks, but it will be part of the usual going forward. We got our first baseball podcast, James. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I'm really excited for it. It is 68 degrees and sunny where we're coming at you from our studio in Indianapolis, Indiana. And you know what that means, everybody. Baseball season is right around the corner. Spring training is about 2 weeks in, and the regular season is going to open in about 3 weeks now. So let's do our preview.
Absolutely. We want to start off with a little off-season catch-up. We want to talk about some of the rules and how this is going pretty much back to normal, but they're still keeping some of the stuff from the past year, some of the rule changes. And you want to discuss some of
it? Yeah, so I felt a lot of these were really interesting, which ones they decided to keep and which ones they're changing. So we're going to have a full 162-game schedule again, just like in normal years. One of the things they're going to keep from this season is seven-inning doubleheaders for makeup games. Each and also for extra innings, each offense will get a runner on second base to start with nobody out. Active rosters will be 26 men instead of 25 like in normal years. And for September, this is one of the new changes they're implementing. September rosters will have 28 men on it instead of 40 like in years past. A lot of people would complain that they didn't like that September call-ups were kind of ruining the nature of September baseball, which is the last month of the season and the most important. So that's going to be more normal. Also, all the MLB clubs are allowed to carry a taxi squad, is what they call it, of an additional five extra players for road trips. So it's essentially they'll travel with the team. They just won't dress for games unless somebody is out either due to injury, or I'm assuming this is mostly for if someone tests positive for COVID-19, as that'll still be very much a factor for probably most of this MLB season. We'll see how soon they get the vaccines rolled out. But either way, MLB is prepared to go forward with it. And then a couple of things they're changing from this from last season, the shortened season, is there will be no universal DH in effect. This is something that the leagues have been doing differently for over 40 years now, and they decided to keep it like that. There is a new collective bargaining agreement that's going to be up for debate next offseason. So I think that's probably when they'll change it and put in the universal DH. But for now, the National League will still have pitchers hitting. And the playoff bracket will go back to five teams in each league. That won't be the extended one with eight teams. I also like this rule because you're not rewarding the mediocre teams for and putting them in the playoffs.
Absolutely. I agree with that. I think that there still could be some space for extension for a playoff in the future. I think you could viably see a way where we get towards more like football, where like the best teams in each league has a bye and then there's a wild card round. I think that's more likely where we're going to head if they want to keep expanding that, and that'll be a good place to keep it. But I do like where it's at now. I do enjoy the playoff system. I didn't really enjoy it last year. Like you said, I didn't really like rewarding the mediocre teams. I like, you know, getting the best teams in October baseball. But some of the rules, I don't like that no universal DH hasn't been implemented yet. I hope it's in there next year, but I'm really disappointed it's not here now. Obviously, you're going to miss those moments like Bartolo Colon hitting a home run, you know, that have been magical in the past. But I like to see more offense. I like to see the players you can hit. And, you know, I think that'll be better for the pitchers overall. So I'm kind of disappointed that hasn't happened yet. But I do enjoy the seventh inning doubleheader rule. I thought that was really enjoyable last year. I thought those games, you know, they were nice change of pace. You know, it's like watch as a Cardinals fan and the road they had to endure last year with all the games they had to play after they got the COVID outbreak, all the doubleheaders they had to play. I got to see a lot of those, and you know, they weren't that bad. They were actually pretty good. You know, it's not a lot of baseball, but it's also not too taxing on the players to play two games in the same day when it's only 14 innings. So I really enjoy that.
Yeah, I was really skeptical of the 2 7-inning doubleheader rule. I have played dozens of those in my lifetime, and they can be pretty hard sometimes when you get into the 13th and 14th innings of a really hot day. It can really be exhausting for the players out there, and I know none of them want to play doubleheaders at all, especially ones during the hot summer days of July and August. So, but all in all, I really like this rule. It allows every team to play the full schedule because there's going to be cancellations, for one, due to rain delays, as we always see in April. But then there's also going to be some cancellations due to COVID-19 contraction as well. So that's why I do kind of like the 7-inning doubleheaders. I think the players kind of like them too. It felt like more of a sprint of a game because of you get through 5 innings and then boom, now you're into your elite bullpen arms. So it really shortens the games. And I think it definitely adds a very interesting component to it. And you know, when you're playing 2 7-inning doubleheaders, you can't really complain that you're not playing enough of each game because you're out there playing for the entire day. So if you're not picking up the wins, you just need to play better in those spans.
Yeah. I also think that the roster rules that they've made are kind of some carryover from last year. It was 26 man last year. Cutting down the September, I think, makes that just mean the month is more important, as you were kind of like alluding to. I do like seeing prospects coming up in September. I do think that's a good time and a good chance for some teams. You know, if you don't have a shot and you just want to get some guys some MLB action, that's enjoyable. But I do like the idea of cutting it down, not having too many players in one clubhouse, especially in these times during COVID and stuff like that. So I think that it's a pretty welcomed addition, and it should make baseball more fun September to watch and more enjoyable and intense down the stretch.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see how the taxi squads are going to look as well. I'm not sure who teams are planning to put in that roles, because if you do go on the road for, say, a week and a half, 2 weeks at a time, now you're taking those players out of AA, AAA, wherever, and now they're not getting game reps at all, but they still get to travel with the team, go to team dinners, stuff like that. So it should be fun for them. One rule I do not like, though, however, is the extra innings one, where a runner starts on second base. I just don't like to see important games come down to a free runner scoring. And I know pitchers hate it as well when they have to go out there and there's just a runner being randomly put on second base. It does add some extra element of strategy into the game, although most managers are going to elect to not even strategize around the runner, and they're just going to have all their guys go up there and hit away anyway. So I don't really like it. I especially don't ever want to see that rule come into effect in a playoff game. But it does help to speed up the extra inning games. That way we don't have like 14, 15, 18 inning games, which completely tax the team's bullpens. So I'm okay with it from that standpoint. It's just not my favorite rule.
I agree. I think, I agree with not wanting it in the playoff sense. I think that it could ruin a playoff game for sure. But I'm not totally against it like you are. I do. I think both teams have a legitimate chance to do it, to get that run in, since both teams get a chance. And I don't know. I don't have as much pushback as you. I don't like it, but like, I don't hate it. I think it's a reasonable rule and it helps speed the game. And you know, the entire point of the league right now is just pace of play and trying to get it to be a more, you know, entertaining and watchable game and not just like a 3-hour snooze fest, which a lot of people see it as. And personally, I don't, but like, that's just kind of how a lot of their problems are. And I think this is just one way they try to solve it. So I'm not entirely like against going for it.
So moving on here, we're going to take you division by division and give our takes on who we think is going to win each one, who's going to make the playoffs. We're even going to give you our World Series predictions. And as we're going through it, we're going to talk about some of the major trades and acquisitions that happened throughout the offseason. We're going to mainly focus on the teams that we think are in contention for their divisions. But getting started right into it, who do you like out of the American League East?
I like the Toronto Blue Jays. It's a young core. They made some huge pieces this offseason. They acquired Marcus Semien, who might honestly be a top 5 shortstop in the game. They added George Springer, who's one of the best outfielders in the game. And yeah, they really, really got that tail end piece in their bullpen and Kirby Yates. Now, Kirby Yates, I don't know if he was all that great with the Padres last season, which is kind of why they let him go or let him walk. But I do think he'll be great for this this bullpen for the Blue Jays. It helps solidify that because it's kind of a weakness for them. But I think it comes down to their rotation, their pitching overall. They added Robbie Ray and Steven Matz into their rotation. They also have their top pitching prospect, Nate Pearson, who's going to be playing. And if he gets off to a hot start, hit with him and Ryu and that staff together, and then just those quality guys around them, I think that could be a great rotation in the American League. And I just love their offense. I love Bo Bichette. I love Kevin Biggio. I love Gordy's Gurriel. Teoscar Hernandez was a lovely surprise last year, and I don't know how much he'll keep that up, but his pop is great in the outfield. And then adding Springer to that lineup is great. And then the big story, and I think someone who's poised for a big, major breakout year, and I think a lot of people have been pointing at that, is Vlad. Guerrero Jr., he's starting to take the game a lot more seriously. The former number one prospect in the game just a couple years ago. I think he was lost like 40 pounds or something like that. Really starting to thin down, be a lot more athletic, and hopefully he can show that hit tool a lot better this year than he has in the past. I think he's poised for a breakout year, and I think if that happens, this team is very scary, and I think they'll make a run, and I think they'll take the American League East.
Yeah, the Blue Jays have a lot of young talent. There's no denying that with Kevin Biggio, Bo Bichette, and Vladimir Guerrero Jr., and they also added some nice veterans along with that too, like you mentioned, Marcus Semien, and also George Springer, who's been one of the clutchest postseason performers in the 2010s. So I think if they do get in, they're going to have a heck of a lineup to deal with. I just don't like their pitching depth. I don't think they have as much as some other teams in the American League East. And even like some of their frontline starting, like they're relying on Nate Pearson coming up and having a great season. And they're relying on Hyunjin Ryu to redo what he did last year. But the team I like the most is the New York Yankees coming out of the East. Their lineup is just absolutely loaded. 1-9, everybody on their team could hit 30, if not 40 home runs. They have multiple guys who could go make an MVP case, from DJ LeMahieu, Luke Voit, Giancarlo Stanton, and of course, Aaron Judge. Even like some of their players like Gleyber Torres, who don't get a lot of recognition, is still one of the better players in baseball at his position. And also, they fortified their starting pitching this offseason. They obviously went and got Gerrit Cole two offseasons ago, but then this offseason, they went and got Corey Kluber and Jameson Taillon to pair with them. So I think their starting pitching is going to be one of the best in baseball. And even though their bullpen's a little shaky, I'm not sure how much depth they're going to have, and that's going to be an area they need to work on this year. They have some starting pitching depth, so maybe some of that overflows to the bullpen. And they still have Zach Britton and Aroldis Chapman, two of the best lefties in all of baseball.
I think I agree where you're coming from, or I hear where you're coming from. I think the Yankees, it's going to be a health thing for them, but I do think Gerrit Cole is going to be a lot better this year. I think Corey Kluber has looked nice out of camp so far this for the Yankees, and I think he could have a nice comeback and have a great 2021. But I like the Blue Jays, man. The Blue Jays are my team. I really like that team. I think they're poised for a breakout. I think they had a good offseason, and I'll take them over the Yankees.
One team, I don't want people out there to sleep on the Tampa Bay Rays. They made it to the World Series last year, and somehow they're still not getting respect among people throughout baseball. I know they lost Blake Snell, and they had a lot of the things go their way in the World Series run, but they've still got one of the best pitching units in all of baseball. They've got Ryan Yarbrough, Tyler Glasnow, Chris Archer's back with them. Maybe he'll refine some of his magic from his younger days. They've got Rich Hill, a veteran pitcher who can get it going at any time. And they've got a lot of other young arms like Brendan McKay who could really come up and make a huge impact. The Tampa Bay Rays have always been able to develop starting pitching, from Blake Snell to David Price to Chris Archer. I have absolute faith in this team that they'll be able to develop somebody else for this season. And when the dog days of summer hit and you've got 5, 10, 15 guys on the disabled list, the Rays always produce guys that'll come up and give them quality innings. So that's why I like the Rays to make the wild card out of there.
Yeah. Speaking of Chris Archer, he's back with the team. Maybe he'll relive some of that magic and, really turn back into him of old. I don't know if that'll happen, but maybe that'll happen. You never know. It's baseball. And then also with the Rays, I like what you say. They always can bring up someone who's going to make a difference for them. I like the idea of Wander Franco making his MLB debut this year, and I think he'll be a bona fide star. And if he comes up and he's hot off the bat, he'll be a solidifying force in that lineup, and I think that'll really help them and bolster them into playoff contention. That's just a team to look out for. Moving on to the AL Central, this one I think is probably, I would say, a two-team race. You could probably throw the Indians in there, but this is probably the Twins or the White Sox. Once again, just like the Blue Jays, I love those young White Sox team. And then they had a great offseason where they had a lot of good veterans, a lot of quality players. They're really focused on pitching because their lineup was great last year. They added Lance Lynn to this team. They added Liam Hendricks, who's probably one of the best, if not the best, relief pitchers in the game. And then this lineup just incredible if the young player, like Luis Robert, now he's got a year under his belt. He'll take it to another level. I still love Eloy. Yoan Moncada's got to bounce back, but Jose Abreu won the MVP last year. He'll be probably still elite this year. I like the White Sox a lot. What do you like? Or who do you like?
Yeah, so I agree with you that I think it's a two-team race. The Indians might stick around for a while, but I don't see them making a play late in the season in August and September. But this is something I've gone back and forth on a lot now, is the Minnesota Twins and the Chicago White Sox. I think I like the Twins to come out of this division. They set the MLB record for most home runs in a season a couple years ago. They've still got a huge lineup featuring Miguel Sano, their huge power hitter Nelson Cruz, and they went out and signed the best defensive shortstop in baseball, Andrelton Simmons. He'll fill a huge need for them. I think Byron Buxton could be a breakout candidate. He might even be in the MVP contention when it's all said and done.
He was great last year, yeah.
He's just one of the best five-tool players we have in their game. And they still have a solid pitching staff, although it's not great. They've got Kenta Maeda, Jose Berrios has been a good pitcher for them. We'll see if this is a year he can take the next step and become an ace in this league. And they also signed J.A. Happ. So they've got a very solid roster top to bottom. But I think it's a safe assumption to think that the top wildcard team is going to come out of this division.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, they're pretty evenly matched. I like the fact that though it's more of like a veterans versus like a young core team. Obviously, like I just mentioned, the White Sox have a lot of veterans on their team, but it's like the team that's kind of already there versus the team on the come up. I like that dynamic as well. I like the idea the White Sox could just like bring up any like of their loaded prospects from their farm system, and just like that guy could be the difference. Like last year, like a Garrett Crochet, if he's healthy this year and he gets some more playing time, or even like a Nick Madrigal, who wasn't even that great last year, but maybe he'll turn around this year if he comes up and plays well. But I like the Twins as well. I think that Josh Donaldson's still killing it. Nelson Cruz is still killing it. Andrelton Simmons, he's a great player to have in your defense, and he's a really great team leader. I think they're a team that's a lot of players have gotten it done and that they've been there before. And I like them as a favorite for that division. But I do like the White Sox, but I agree.
The White Sox are also a very flashy team. So one of the things I worry about them is how are they going to get through the dog days of July and August, like I've mentioned before, because they're going to inevitably end up scuffling at some point this season. How do they get through that? Do some of their players stop trying as hard as they can? It's a lot easier in a 60-game sprint of a season to go as hard as you can throughout the entire season, whereas this year it's going to be a whole new grind for the players on that team that they've never experienced before.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned that like a player like Yoan Moncada, who was kind of struggling last year, is he going to be able to turn it around? Did that go to his head? A lot of other players, you have to expect. Jose Abreu's had that in the past as well. Like, you got to expect some of those hitters that will either come back down to earth or have those slumps. So just how did they go through that, especially as young players? I agree. Now, this is the next division, the AL West. It's kind of one of the hardest ones, in my opinion, to pick a winner. I think most people will probably think the Astros are still solid and still like the favorite for that. But I kind of want to go with the sneaky pick here. This is the year Mike Trout gets back in the playoffs. I think this is the Angels division to win. Anthony Rendon, a full season for him. They still have Mike Trout at his peak. They have Joe Adele, who's coming up. I think he'll be much better this year. Justin Upton's still solid. I'm pretty sure they have him still. The rotation is better. They still need a lot of pitching. But Quintana and Dylan Bundy should be solid. I don't know how good Otani's going to be. I think Otani probably should just be a position player and play in the outfield. But if he starts well pitching, then I guess he'll be part of that too. So, I mean, that's why that he stays a pitcher, because they're just that desperate for pitching. They hope he'll be an ace. But I really like some of the moves they made. I really like their lineup. I think David Fletcher had a nice breakout year. They lost Simmons, but I think he'll be able to fill the gap there. They got Jose Iglesias as well, be able to fill that gap. He was solid with the Orioles last year. So I like this team. I think it's solid, and I think they're kind of sneaky.
Yeah, I mean, the Angels, they seem to always have a good roster, and of course they've got by far the best player in baseball, Mike Trout. I just can't trust the team. I don't know when's the last time they've had a season above 500. They haven't made the playoffs since when, 2012 or 2013?
Yeah, it's been one time in his career.
Yeah. So the team I like the most is the Oakland Athletics. They always put together a good team, no matter what their payroll is, no matter what guys they have coming and going. They always find a way to find talent where no one else sees it. And then they develop their guys well. They've got great starting pitching like Mike Fiers and Sean Manaea. I think they're going to come out and be two of the better starting pitchers in baseball. They've got a sneaky good bullpen that they seem to piece together here with a top prospect, James Kaprielian. Trevor Rosenthal is going to be their closer. He's a flamethrower, and he's also been there, done that in the playoffs. And they've also got the veteran Sergio Romo, who's going to be a great mentor for this bullpen and the starting staff. And they've also got a solid lineup. They're going to get Matt Chapman back. I think this is one of the weaker divisions in baseball, to be honest with you. I don't like the Astros at all because of their cheating scandal, although I still think they have a pretty solid team. I could see them competing for one of the wild card spots, but the A's ran away with this division last year, and I think the same thing's going to happen this year.
Yeah, you can't knock the Astros. Their lineup's still great, even though they lost George Springer. They got Michael Brantley back. They have Jose Altuve will probably turn it around. I think he got a huge confidence, like, you know, just like shaky. I think he'll turn it around. Carlos Correa, Alex Bregman, I still kind of believe in. I think that's still a solid roster. They still have great pitching. They'll compete. I like the Athletics, though. I think you've kind of swayed me. I mean, I still kind of want to go with the sneaky Angels. I want to see it happen, but I think Athletics are probably the team to pick for the AL West if you're going to make the smart, safe pick, because they have a lot of great talent. I think that their pitching's great. I like some of the players in the lineup. Marcus Semien, him being gone, is going to be kind of tough. I think that's going to be a loss for that lineup. But Matt Olson, Matt Chapman, I love those guys. I like the Athletics. I think that's a good pick.
And moving on to the National League East here, this division is probably my favorite one in all of baseball right now. It's certainly the most interesting. I think it's one of the only divisions that you can legitimately say right now it goes 1-5. Any of the teams can win it. But right now, I like the Atlanta Braves. They've won it the past couple of seasons. They've really got a loaded team now as they're looking not only to win the division, but they're looking to go to the World Series and make a deep playoff run. Mike Soroka is one of the better pitchers in all of baseball. And then they've got other good starting pitchers. They added Charlie Morton this offseason. That was a phenomenal addition. I think their bullpen will be definitely a key thing for them. How will they piece that together? They weren't the greatest last year. But it's a new season. If they can have a couple of guys step up, they've got Will Smith in there. They've got Luke Jackson. He's a solid option. So if they can get consistency out of their bullpen, I mean, their lineup is going to flat out rake. They've got the MVP, Freddie Freeman, Dansby Swanson, Marcelo Zuna, Ronald Acuna Jr. I mean, they're completely loaded, and I will take their lineup over anyone else in the National League. And that's why I think they're going to win the National League East.
I agree. I think the Braves are definitely my team in the National League East as well. For the sake of talking about some of the other teams, I think the Mets have made some great moves in this offseason. They missed out on Trevor Bauer, but they've got Francisco Lindor, and he's going to be a stud for them, obviously, because he's Francisco Lindor. But, I think their rotation is solid. They got Carlos Carrasco in that Lindor trade as well, and he has had his up and down. He was battling cancer a couple years ago, and I think he's back to form. I think this is a season where we get the old Carlos Carrasco again. He really takes off with the Mets again. But ultimately, I do think the Braves are just the favorite here. I think this division is definitely up for grabs, but the Braves are my pick as well, yes.
Yeah, but like I said, I think any team in this division can win it. The Washington Nationals obviously won the World Series a couple of years ago, and they seemed to kind of take a bridge year last year in the shortened offseason, but now they've got a full team and they're ready to go. Their rotation is probably the best in baseball, in my opinion, with Max Scherzer and Steven Strasburg fronting that rotation. And then they've got Patrick Corbin and John Lester.
Can't forget about Patrick Corbin. He's still elite. He had kind of a down year, but I think he is still a guy that you want on your team, and they paid a lot of money for him for a reason.
Yeah, they're two of the better lefties in baseball. And then they've got one of the best young players, if not the best, a guy who is starting to set the MLB world on fire, Juan Soto. There are better players out there than him, but there's nobody that's impressed me more than him. His poise at the plate and what he was able to do in their World Series run. His stats last season were phenomenal. They're absolutely off the charts. They were Barry Bonds-like with over a 1,200 OPS. He's going to be a beast for them for the next however many years he's there. Then he'll always keep them in contention.
Absolutely. Honestly, I have to say it. I mean, Mike Trout's the best player in baseball, but Juan Soto might be the best hitter in baseball. Like, this dude is legitimately Ted Williams 2.0. It's actually like ridiculous. His ability to get on base, his ability to hit for power, hit for contact, just do everything. His eye is amazing. He's such a good hitter. I love Juan Soto. Any team that has Juan Soto, you're doing something right and you're going to go places. though, I don't know if the Nationals are the team for me in that division. Again, I still have to go with the Braves, but I do like that Nationals team. I think they're maybe a couple moves away from being in that contention and really being a team that could rival the Braves.
And there is not another hitter in baseball that strikes more fear into their opponent's pitchers than Juan Soto. I mean, the way he stares them down and the way he sees every single pitch that comes at him, mm-hmm. he sees it all the way in. He's got such a great feel for his strike zone. I absolutely love watching him play. And also another team out there in the NL East, the Philadelphia Phillies, they've got Bryce Harper, Didi Gregorius, and a lot of other talent. So I could easily see them winning the division.
I wouldn't go that far. I like the Phillies. I like their team, but I don't see the Phillies being more than third place team here. If anything, I think that we'll see more of the same. I think Bryce Harper could have a good year again. He's one of the most underrated players in baseball because he's gotten so, what's it called? He's gotten so overrated that he's kind of underrated now. But at this point, I don't know the Phillies are a team that could compete though. Moving on, to go to the NL Central, I think just like the AL Central, it's probably a two-team race. It's one of the weaker divisions in baseball. The teams didn't really make any crazy offseason moves until the Cardinals really broke the bank open. And they didn't even really break the bank like that because the Rockies are giving them $50 million with the trade. But they got Nolan Arenado. The Cardinals are my pick for the NL Central. I think they're hands down just a better team than the majority of or the other teams in the division. I think you could throw the Brewers into that conversation. I think they're the closest team to them, but the Cardinals' pitching staff's great. Their bullpen's solid. And then now their lineup, which was lacking offense, they input Nolan Arenado. I think Dylan Carlson's going to be have a huge breakout year in his first official season with the team. I like the Cardinals a lot for obvious reasons, but what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the Cardinals are most likely going to win this division. I don't think it's going to take a lot of wins either. Maybe even 90 could win the division for them. But also another team I really like is the Milwaukee Brewers. I think they're going to have a bounce back season. And Christian Yelich in particular, he's still one of the best players in baseball. And he had a rough year last year. But again, I don't know how much team executives and scouts are going to take the 2020 season into account when they're evaluating their players. So we'll see how Christian Yelich comes out this season. I think he'll be one of the best in baseball. And I think he's going to lead the Brewers to a wild card spot in the National League.
Yeah, the Brewers, they added some decent pieces. They improved their team defense overall. They added Colton Wong, which is a hurt to the Cardinals. But a great addition for them. They added Jackie Bradley Jr. to that outfield. So now Lorenzo Cain can, you know, move over to a corner spot and he can be, since he's, you know, aged and been, become less athletic. Now we're looking at a lot better outfield situation for them. I think they still have like what it takes to compete. Again, I think it's kind of a weak division. I don't see any other teams really making a push. The Reds kind of took a step backwards. The Cubs definitely took a step backwards and are looking to offload players. And then the Pirates are the Pirates. They're probably the worst team in baseball right now. So I think it's got to be the Cardinals division to take and win. And I think they will.
Yeah, the Pirates will be an interesting case because some people think they might lose up to 120 games this season. They may even set records for how bad they are. So that'll be something to keep an eye on. And yeah, finishing up with the Brewers, they made the NL championship series as recently as just a couple of years ago. But I like kind of what you touched on. I like a lot of the moves they made. They became a better fundamental team for it. Mm-hmm. And they're not relying as much on some of the sluggers like they had Mike Moustakas in the past. And then moving on to the final division here, the division with probably the two best teams in baseball, if we're realistic about it, the NL West with the Los Angeles Dodgers and San Diego Padres. What do you think about it?
Listen, that's a really tough choice. I think ultimately, whoever isn't the winner is going to be wild card one. They're just by far the two best teams in the National League and maybe the two best teams in the entire league in general. I think it's hard to pick over the Dodgers, though. I think the Dodgers were already a better team than the Padres. The Padres made a couple splashes. They got Blake Snell, as you mentioned earlier. They got Yu Darvish, who I think is going to be great. Their rotation is going to be filthy this year. But then the Dodgers went out and they got Trevor Bauer. So it's like, what do you want from this? You know what I mean? That's kind of where San Diego's at. It's like, we spend money. We're trying to be like you. And then Dodgers are like, we're the evil empire 2.0. We're the Yankees of the new age, it seems like. They'll just spend for anybody. And I can't pick against the Dodgers. That team is incredible. Coming off the World Series, I think they've only gotten better. when you have Mookie Betts, Cody Bellinger in your lineup, you still have players like Justin Turner, who's solid. You have Corey Seager, who had a really good breakout year. He's in the contract year. He's probably going to just absolutely blow people out of the water this year, especially trying to get that contract. Gavin Lux, I think, still going to be a great player if he can really figure it out, second base for them. And then obviously they're pitching Bauer, Buehler, and Clayton Kershaw. Like, you can't beat that 1-2-3 in the entire league. Like, that's probably like the Padres, like I said, they rival that, but you can't beat that. Though that is two Cy Young winners and a guy who looks like he's on his way to being a Cy Young winner sometime in the future. That's a squad that I can't bet against.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think the Dodgers are going to come out and they may even win 110 games this year. It seems crazy to say, but they are that good. Their roster is completely loaded. They can start resting guys, make sure they have plenty of time off, give their pitchers plenty of time in between starts, extra time, and they still won't miss a beat. They are phenomenal. And one of their weak points in the past has been their bullpen. Kenley Jansen hasn't been as good as he was a few years ago earlier in his career, but now they've got Gratterall that's going to step up and take the reins as a closer at some point this season. But they also made some other moves. They added Corey Knebel, who used to be a very good reliever for the Dodgers, and also Tommy Canley, who was a very good reliever just a couple of seasons ago. So if these guys start to hit with Joe Kelly on there, their bullpen might go from a huge weakness to them for one of their biggest strengths, which is just a scary thought to even think of.
Yeah, if Blake Chardon, he finds his form, his former Oakland A's self that they thought they were getting when they got him originally, and I guess not when they fought, he kind of had a down year, but if you get like that old Blake Chardon too, when he had a nice little breakout year a couple years back, like that is a filthy bullpen as well, and that would be just completely make this team well-rounded and one of the best teams we've ever seen, I think.
Yeah, but that's not to say take anything away from the Padres. They are still absolutely like a loaded ball club, just like the Dodgers. The one thing I think with the Padres are, they had a lot of hitters break out last season and kind of put up numbers that maybe they weren't accustomed to putting up or that they hadn't put up in a couple of seasons. Eric Hosmer had a bounce back season. Manny Machado had a big bounce back season, and Will Myers did as well. So I think if those three guys can keep it up and play as well as they did last season, the Padres are going to be easily one of the best teams in baseball. But if they don't, I think a lot of their offense is going to have to be relied on Fernando Tatis, who I think absolutely will be in the MVP consideration when it's all said and done. But I think their offense might fall off a little bit from their pitching.
I agree. I think Slam Diego, I won't say it's in the past, but they definitely won't be the same offensive team they were in that 60-game span. I can't trust Eric Hosmer and Will Myers at this point in their career. They could do it over a 60-game stretch, but let's see it over 160 games, you know what I mean? But Manny Machado, I know what I'm getting with Manny Machado. I'm getting an elite player, great defensive player, and a solid hitter. I know Fernando Tatis is a top-five player in the game right now. I know what I'm getting with him. They had a lot of young guys that, you know, they can get some, like a Jake Cronenworth. He was pretty solid in the games he played last year. He's a nice utility guy. Jerickson Profar is still with the team. He's pretty solid. They got a new guy, Hyunsung Kim, from Korea. Let's see. I want to see what he was really hyped up. I want to see what he can do for them. I think overall, it's a very, very good team, very good roster. There's some players that, again, like I can't trust in Eric Hosmer over 160 span because I just haven't seen it in a long time. But I think they have a lot of good pieces. I think they'll be very good once again. And I think they'll probably be the top wild card team and probably be the team. And that first round matchup with the Dodgers and the Padres, it's going to be something special in my opinion.
Yeah, and they're still waiting on Mike Clevinger, one of their pitchers that they recently picked up from the Indians who got had to get Tommy John surgery. They're still waiting for him to come back around midseason, maybe June or July. That'll just make them all the filthier. And moving on here, we're going to go into who we think is going to win some of the end of the season awards. We're just going to focus on the two big ones for now, the MVP and the Cy Young. So to start off here, my MVPs in the American League, I've got Aaron Judge. He was MVP runner-up in his rookie season in 2017, and he's put up nothing but MVP numbers his entire time in the major leagues. The only thing for him is, can he stay healthy? So I think if this is the year that he's able to play 155, 160 games, I think he'll be right there in the MVP talks. And if the Yankees are the best team in the American League, I see no reason why he shouldn't be able to win it. And then in the National League, I have Mookie Betts. This is someone who I've mentioned to you during the World Series run last year. I think Mookie Betts was quickly arising as one of the best, if not maybe the best player in baseball, along with Mike Trout. I legitimately think it is Mike Trout and then Mookie Betts. Mm-hmm. And so I think he's going to have a huge impact for the Dodgers as their leadoff hitter. He's As Cody Bellinger, Max Muncy, and as those guys get hot and cold, Mookie Betts is just going to be doing his thing every single game, hustling, playing defense, getting it started for them on offense. He's phenomenal. So I think he's going to lead the charge for them and win MVP in the National League.
For me, I think a little different. I like Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge is a sneaky pick for MVP. I agree with that. I think he could have a great year this year. Health is the biggest factor against that. Obviously, the safe pick's probably Mike Trout. And, you know, Mike Trout just wins. Any year Mike Trout plays, he wins the MVP because he's just that good. I'm probably going to stay safe. I'm going to pick Mike Trout, especially with my AL West prediction of I'm thinking that the Angels could be a sneaky team there and make a playoffs. If they make the playoffs, Mike Trout, like, he can't lose unless something drastic happens. For me, also, we touched on him earlier, so I'll keep it short, but my National League MVP is going to be Juan Soto. I think Juan Soto's just going to have the best year of his career going forward this year. I think he just, like you said, he terrifies opposing pitchers. I like Juan Soto a lot. I think Juan Soto's going to be the guy in the National League to win MVP. For your Cy Young, who do you think for Cy Young?
So in the American League, I've got the guy who's been the best pitcher in the American League over the best 2 years, and that's Shane Bieber on the Cleveland Indians. He doesn't get as much recognition as some other guys like Garrett Cole or Justin Verlander, but he's been every bit as good as them. He has a 3.17 ERA in his past two seasons, and he was even better last year with an ERA under two. And also he pitches close to 7 innings per start. That's something that is kind of undervalued in today's game, is going deep into the game, but it is huge for a team's bullpen and just being able to take your team as farther as possible. And that's how you're going to get wins from it. And then in the National League, I have Jacob DeGrom. He's been the best pitcher in baseball. I don't care what anybody says. It's been tough for him pitching on the Mets. He hasn't been able to pick up a lot of wins, but his ERA over the past 2 years has been a 2.42, just absolutely phenomenal. He's put up a whip under one in each of the last two seasons. What can I say? He's easily the best pitcher in baseball, and I could see. And it's a travesty that he was third in the Cy Young voting last season in the National League. I think he'll win it this year.
All right, I think both of those are great, excellent picks. I'm going to do one, you know, you're going to like this. I think my American League Cy Young winner this year, it's going to be Garrett Cole. I think Garrett Cole is going to have a great year at the Yankees. And I think this is going to be the year where he finally gets his Cy Young award. I mean, he probably should have won it over his teammate, Justin Verlander, when he was with the Astros in his final season there. But I think this is the year that Garrett Cole breaks through. I think this is the year that he wins the American League Cy Young. And then this is going to be a shocker in the National League, but Jack Flaherty is going to win the Cy Young for the National League. And you might be smiling because he's a Cardinals fan. He's going to pick the Cardinals guy. But Jack Flaherty, I want to touch that. Just 2 years ago in the second half, and he had an ERA below one the entire second half, completely broke out. I think he had a down year, but he really figured it out towards the end of the year. I think he's really figured out what he needs to do to be an elite pitcher and stay an elite pitcher. I mean, this is the year that he's going to have that. And he's probably got the best defense in baseball behind him. You're talking Nolan Arenado, Paul DeJong. You got Tommy Edman, Paul Goldschmidt, Harrison Bader, Dylan Carlson, Tyler O'Neill, all gold glove caliber players behind him, with Yachty behind the plate. This guy, he could throw a bunch of balls that are in play. They're going to be outs, and he's going to have a great year, I think. It's kind of sneaky, but we'll see what happens at the end of the year. I like Jack Flaherty a lot.
That is a sneaky pick. I don't know if he can compete with some of the top dogs in the National League, like Blake Snell and Clayton mm-hmm. Kershaw and Trevor Bauer and those guys, but I agree with everything you said. I certainly think he could have a great season. And moving on here, we're going to be wrapping up the show now. I want to give a shout out to Trey Mancini, the outfielder on the Baltimore Orioles. He had a phenomenal 2019 season, hitting, having a .291 batting average, 35 home runs, and 97 RBIs with an OPS just under 900. He's a young upcoming player, but sadly last spring training, just a week into it, he was diagnosed with stage 3 colon cancer, which made him sit out the entire 2020 season. But he made a full recovery from that. Shout out to him. He played his first spring training game the other day and got a full round of applause from both the fans and both teams on the field, and then proceeded to single in his first mm-hmm. at bat. So I hope he can come back healthy and have a great season and continue his upward trajectory. He could be one of the best young players in baseball, but just credit to him for just getting back healthy and on the field.
Yeah, absolutely. Great story. You know, love to see that. Hope he has a great year. I mean, that's just going to about do it for us today. I'm Eric Barnes.
I'm James Andrews.
This has been Off the Waivers, our first baseball podcast, our first baseball episode. But, you know, we'll have more in the future. Probably basketball next week. But appreciate you guys listening. Thank you. If you want to follow us on any of our socials, we're on Twitter at the OTW Pod. We're at TikTok at just Off the Waivers. And we're probably going to be on YouTube now. I think I should get this one out, even though I said last week I didn't. But I should get this one out this week on YouTube at Off the Waivers Media. Once again, thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.